Hello, everyone. Welcome to this brand new episode of CoreCast. I am your host, Tim.
And I'm Mikey.
This is Sahil. Welcome, everybody, to a brand new exciting episode of CoreCast. Before we get started, if you haven't already, do join our Discord channel. And if you're watching this on YouTube, which we do every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, feel free to ask us questions during the episode so we can get to them. So without further ado, Tim and Mikey, I recently, we had discussed about this video that was put up by Roger Penrose about is mathematics invented or discovered? I thought it'd be a good idea if we were to discuss it in terms of physics. Is physics invented or discovered? So I guess, like, can we start with kind of the difference between math and physics, and then we can delve into, like, what does it mean to invent and discovered? Like, let's start with that. So
I think on the surface, you can kind of think that, oh, you know, there's a lot of collaboration between math and physics, and to some extent, they all have a lot of equations. So one might think that math and physics, to some extent, it's the same. And even through many videos, people say that the job of mathematics is to do physics. That's what some people think. But
mathematicians don't think that, though, right?
Probably not.
That would be offensive to them.
I think that's true. But to me, I think I'm not a mathematician, definitely. But math, the flavor of math is very different from the flavor of physics. Like, when you write a mathematical paper, the only thing you need, in some sense, is some sort of axioms and kind of logical deductions. But that alone is never good enough for a physics paper. A good physics paper should always involve reality, experimental evidence. And so in that regard, even though the mathematics could be exactly the same, there is something different about physics. Physics kind of has an extra component, and that's the reality. And the falseness of a physical theory ultimately is judged by nature. Now, that's the key difference between math and physics. The truthfulness and the falseness of math can be just done through logical deduction. But physics is not like that. So in a real sense, we are not the final arbiters of truth in physics. And from that perspective, you can argue that minimally, like, this fact cannot just be invented. Like, you cannot just imagine something and say that it's physics, because it still has to go through this discovery process in nature to find out whether that's true or not.
Are you saying that, like, actually, so then where does math fit into physics in that context? Like, you use math to propose things and nature is the arbiter whether or not those are true or not? Or how do you think about that?
Tim, what do you think? Do you think it's fair to say that, like, I know it's almost cliche, but, like, math is the language and then nature is the arbiter determining which statements are true or not?
I think that's fair. I think there could be instances where, let's say, imagine we write down some math equation, like 1 + 1 = 2, something like that, you know, analogous to that in physics. And we just have such deep, you know, conviction that it is true. But when we go do an experiment, it doesn't necessarily have to obey that, right? Like, I think it has happened in the historical past that in physics, that something we hold such deep conviction that we think is true mathematically turned out to be false. And when that happens, we just kind of go back to the drawing board and come up with, like, a different mathematical construct to describe the natural world. So I think to that extent it's fair because what else can we do? Math is just a logically consistent way of describing things. So it's kind of like our way of describing nature, right? Like, I mean, it's plausible that nature has a different language, but this is the best we can do.
What is math? I don't know. I mean, gosh, I'm not qualified to even address this, but I mean, to me, when I think of math, I just think of, like, logically consistent systems. So yes. If you assume that the universe is also a logically consistent system, then presumably it should be describable by some kind of mathematics. And if you don't think that the universe is a logically consistent system, then I guess all I can say, all I can say is that you have several thousand years and worth of evidence going against you.
But tying on to that, like, so you mentioned the word consistent. Like, what does consistent mean in this context? And then there's something about, like, incompleteness, like consistent and complete.
Oh, I don't want to.
All right, let's the incompleteness is way crazier then.
Yeah, it's way crazy.
I mean, I think, yeah, that's just something I want to talk about in the beginning too. Like, when people talk about what is the difference between discovery and invention, right? There are certain ways that you could, you know, let's just kill the most like straw man argument first. Like, when some people think about an invention, right, they think about like just making stuff up like willy-nilly, right? And that is not the kind of invention that we're talking about. You have some people who think that like, oh, like maybe I can just ignore everything that's been done before in mathematics and physics and come up with something new that no one's ever seen before. It's like a pure act of creativity. And, you know, for better or worse, neither math nor physics works this way, right? Because as you mentioned, physics is typically written in the language of mathematics. And the language of mathematics does have this property that we call consistency, which is the idea that certain statements have logical consequences in the form of corollary statements, what we call corollaries. And so it kind of builds like this logical structure, this web of like self-consistent facts. Oh gosh, what's a good example of this, Tim? Can you help me out?
Yeah, I think that's gravity, right? Like, if you look at the laws of gravity, Newton.
No, math. Like logical consistency and math.
And I mean, Newton is saying that if the laws of gravity is described by one equation, then what it means is that let's say the fact that the apple falls to the ground would have to obey the same laws as the fact that the Earth orbits around the sun. And indeed, that is true, right? We tested it experimentally. But then this logical consistency check, it's not obvious, right? It's non-trivial. Like the Earth could have orbited the sun in a different way. They didn't have to obey the same equation. But then maybe when that happens, we'll just find like a slightly different flavor of logically consistent framework. Talk about it. But still, you know, ignoring all that, like every statement about every experiment that has been done kind of goes through this consistency check, right? Like two very different things that seemingly has no relationship. It's because when we build these mathematical models to describe the world, they're related. And then we check that they are indeed related. Then it means that they're logically consistent. And that's what Mike is referring to.
Well, no, actually, that's the physics version of what I was going to say.
Sure.
Yeah. The math version. Okay. The easiest version of like a math consistency is like if A equals B and B equals C, then it follows that A equals C as well, right?
Just right, yeah.
By the definition of what it means to be equal. And as Tim mentioned earlier, like, of course, this rests on the fact that something called equal exists. But if you define some notion of equality, then it follows that A equals C. And actually, Tim's example of like the gravity affecting planets and apples is kind of similar to that, right? It's like,
yeah.
If you assume that this thing is applying everywhere, then it should affect this body the same as it affects this body. And that's kind of like the difference between consistency in mathematics, which kind of gives rise to the notion of consistency in physics.
Maybe it seems so trivial, like if A equals B, B equals C, and then A has to equal to C, like how can you even like deny that? But keep in mind that physics is an experimental discipline. Let's imagine we can measure this equality, right? We could conceivably have an experiment where we can measure A equals B and measure B equals C, but then when we do the third experiment, A might not equals to C. Like this
in
could
fact, that has happened.
Like something like that could happen. So like even like you kind of have to suspend your, I don't know, logic a little bit, right? Like even when you think your theorem or whatever mathematical system is just bomb proof, like there's no loophole, nothing, right? Experiment could still throw a wrench at you and be like, like sorry, like that was wrong, right?
It kind of sounds like Bell's theorem, doesn't it?
It kind of is, like, if you watch our previous episode, it kind of is in that way. Because every time you measure something, it's kind of like you're measuring a slightly different system. I mean, that's the way we rationalize it.
Well, yeah, no, people assume that this, like, primitive notion of equality applied to everything.
Exactly.
And when they did the measurement, they realized, oh, man, A doesn't equal C. That means our notion of equality must be kind of screwed up.
Yeah. So I guess we kind of have to suspend that notion first. Like even things we take for granted, it's not necessarily up for grab. It's like
especially things we take for granted.
Yeah, especially things we take for granted. Like it sometimes it, let's put it like it could be up for grabs in physics. So,
So you guys are saying that basically, like, equality in the physical sciences, especially in physics, is tenuous. Because in mathematics, if you say A equals B, B equals C, then by definition, exact logical definition, A has to equal C. But in experiments, there's no such thing as equality. Because everything is possible. Is that a fair statement?
Exactly. I think that's fair.
I wouldn't attack the notion of equality, though, because that's like... fairness is not exactly attacking equality, but it's like something almost as seemingly obvious that you take for granted.
So maybe not equality, but like something like that. Yeah.
Gotcha. So I want to move forward to the what is the difference between discovered and invented? Like, how do you guys think about that?
Ultimately, this is a very philosophical problem. Who cares what language we use? Discover, invented, blah blah blah. That's just words, right? But I think in the human mind, there is a little bit of difference between them, right? Like when you discover something, it feels like that something is just what it is, right? Like imagine I discover a beautiful equation. I would believe that it's not like my equation to write down. Like nature wrote down that equation. I'm just like taking a look. And when we think that, hey, maybe I invented that equation, maybe I would believe that maybe nature didn't write down the equation. This equation is just so good, almost like an AI. That somehow takes our language and fit it to nature. In some ways, it's like recently we have these fantastical AI results, kind of like that are able to generate like very convincing text, right? It's almost like maybe our physics is kind of like some AI kind of that's able to generate these really descriptive equations. Which one is which? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think physicists will have an inclination, like hopefully most physicists don't think that we're just some AI running down tentative equations, but this convention that I think there is a bias toward that it is a discovery. Like when we see a beautiful equation, we didn't just make this stuff up. Like it really is like that beautiful.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Mikey? What do you think about this?
Okay, so full disclosure to the audience. I mean, this is something we started talking about relatively recently, so our thoughts have been evolving on this. But I think if I'm thinking about it right now with the hindsight of like the past 2 days, like it really seems like it's about control, right? Like if you invent something, it kind of implies that like you can do whatever you want with it, right? Versus if you discover something, like, you know, like if I invent like a light bulb, you know, I can put a lampshade on it. I can like put it on a street. I can do whatever I want with it. It's like mine. I have full control over this. But if you discover something, like if you're like an archaeologist, like uncovering like, you know, an ancient ruin or something, it's like that thing is already there. Like I'm not building it. I'm not inventing it. I'm not constructing it. It is just there. And I'm just like sweeping away the dirt to reveal what it is. And I think what makes those two things really different, I think it's the amount of control that we have over it. So if I judge it on that sense, then yeah, physics is, I mean, we don't have control over any of this stuff. Like we're at the complete mercy of not only nature, but also of like the rules of mathematics. We have no control over how this game is going to unfold.
What if I were to take kind of like devil's advocate and talk about like the very device I'm talking to is because we're able to quote unquote like control, you know, matter at such a small scale. So we
have
so many transistors into this device.
Yeah.
It seems like our approach to physics is eventually to gain control over nature as like a hubris mentality goes.
We can't gain control of the rules though. We can learn how to play by the rules and use them to invent other things. But the rules themselves, I think that's essentially different between like engineering and physics, right? Like engineering is like understand the rules, which you have absolutely no control over, and you know, using them to invent new stuff and having control over it. But physics at the most base sense, when we talk about like theoretical high energy physics, it's literally like you have no control. It's like,
although I think there's a small distinctions even between physical theories. There's this idea of what the theory really is telling us. And there's another aspect of a theory. It's just that the theory as a calculational tool, kind of. Right. While they might seem like pretty much the same thing, but they're not necessarily the same in some sense, right? Like when we think of a theory as a calculation tool, it becomes more like a hammer that we invent to do these things. It enables us to cook up these numbers. But when we think of theories as really kind of like something that's large onto the physical reality of things, then that gives you this vibe that it really is something that's discovered. And I think certainly there's a bias toward discovery, but when we look at many of these physical models, there's also this vibe that some aspects of it seems invented. So I think there's always a little mixture, a little bit of both in it, at least in my mind, for many, many different physical theories.
Would you say, like, so kind of like going off the back of that, would you say that, like, we discover things in physics but invent mathematics to describe that as best as we can? Because, like, mathematics is inherently our sort of, I don't know, I've fully looked into this, but intuitively it seems like mathematics is invented by us. It's not something like nature kind of like put down on like stone wall and said, oh, A equals B, B equals C, B equals C.
I think I would agree to some extent, but also disagree to some extent. I think the crux of mathematics, that the logical part, like the fundamental truth, it feels like discovered. But then there might be many different ways to get at that truth. Like for example, you can have like a mathematical theorem can be proven in different angles. But the fact that theorem is true, I think it's kind of like, you know, that's independent of how you prove it. But the route to prove it could involve many different languages and tools, and those tools and languages feels a little bit more in the realms of invented. But the crux of the logic feels more like discovered. And I think that also continues on in physics. And although in physics, to me, I think there's more aspects of it that's discovered, but still there's this tiny bit of invention involved, right? Like, it's like Feynman diagrams. Like, Feynman got with his tools of calculating the probability of particles interacting. It doesn't feel like nature wrote down, like, draw these Feynman diagrams. It feels like Feynman really invented it, right? I mean, he's a genius, but like, when Feynman himself, I think if you ask him, he'd be like, yeah, nature probably didn't draw Feynman diagrams, right?
In a sense, it is, though. Because, okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, in a sense, it is at least approximately doing something like that, but it's obviously not the full story of what it's doing. I don't know. I think, what is the biggest thing that distinguishes an invention from a discovery? When you discover something, you're surprised. When you invent something, you're never surprised by the thing you invent, though, right? But if you look at both business and mathematicians, they are constantly surprised. It's like, whoa, who knew that could, like, who knew it worked that way? And it's always comes different from how they expect it. That just doesn't strike me as an invention, right? If it's an invention, why would we be so surprised every time we see something new?
I mean, you could strive to invent something, but like...
But they're not surprised at their accomplishment. They're surprised that it actually looks the way it does. It's like, whoa, who knew that it would look that way? It's like, this is like one of the... Yeah.
Maybe it's a bit of selection bias. It's like social media. We created it, and it's an addicting. It just feels good.
Wait, how's that? I did not understand that analogy.
No, it's not an analogy. It's just a useless.
I mean, that's really like the surprise at finding out what like, you know, mathematics or nature really looks like. I would argue that among physicists, that is the source of every single exhilaration. So it starts out a lot more like an archaeological expedition than some kind of like Thomas Edison thing.
But there is a flip side, right? Like, we're surprised when things are right, but we're also surprised when things are wrong. And I would say whenever things are wrong, it means that some of that discovery was invented, if that makes any sense, because it was wrong. So it cannot be 100% discovered because, like, it's not fully correct. It's like,
wait, if you're like, it's like, you know, uncovering some dinosaur bones and you're like, oh, I imagined that it looks like this, but then you uncover the rest of it, you're like, whoa, I was totally wrong about that. Yeah, I guess your idea of what it looked like. Oh, this is getting so meta.
Right.
On the follow.
It's like your imagination of the dinosaur was wrong. It turns out that they had feathers, or like they didn't look like lizards.
Right. So like the question is physics the imagination part of it, or is physics the dusting off part of it?
Yeah.
It could be both. Maybe it doesn't have to be such a.
Well, certainly is. Again, yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of want to like go on the side. So we've mentioned several times with this podcast that like we believe that physics exists outside of humans. Like it's not because of humans that like physics exists. Would you both agree with that?
If it was, then we could control how it works. Like, I mean, control the how the rules look. We have no control over the rules.
Yeah, I think most physicists would, almost like 99.999, however many nines,
would agree
that would simply take it, you know, as an axiom that there must exist an external world independent of humans.
Yeah, no. Hoffman might disagree though, right?
I guess, like, so where I'm going with this is that, like, the way we observe things is, like, from our perspective, like, the way we do experiments is from, like, our conscious experience. So I'm wondering, like, how much of the way in which we formulate physics is driven by our conscious experience? And this is a philosophical discussion. And I want to see if we can break into some elements of consciousness in here, or maybe dispel that completely.
Yeah. Okay, well, I would say that if, you know, this is something I don't believe, if it truly is that it's just this experience of discovering physics, it's completely just, you know, a product of the brain, whatever, in some ways, then of course, then physics would be that by definition kind of invented by the mind, right? It has nothing to do truly with external reality. I don't think most physicists think that, but I mean, certainly it's a plausibility, but it's not a very productive one. I think that's the issue. Like, we can always imagine we're just kind of like in the Matrix. For some reason, like Mike was saying, we don't have control for some reason. We can't explain it. We don't have control. We can't change laws of physics, but we're just kind of stuck in this Matrix environment, moving along, observing the world and inventing these like fantastical things in our head to help us survive. That's plausible, but it's kind of depressing. I don't know.
Actually, I think it's actually implausible because, like, so you could do an experiment. You can't do this experiment, but we could one day find out the absolute truth about this, right? If there is some alien species living like 100 million light years away, and if we ever meet them, if they're like, what the hell is a hydrogen atom? What's gravity? What are you talking about? This is all nonsense. Like, we have a completely different set of roles that, like, then we could be like, okay, so yeah, clearly everything was just an artifact of like the human consciousness. But that doesn't happen. I mean, no, we have a small scale experiment of that. Like, when different cultures meet, like, they still roughly experience the same phenomenons. And in one person's culture, another person's culture, you could translate the language of mathematics between them and get consistent results. So we at least have some evidence to believe that, like, this is not just like some figment of the human imagination, but that it's something that is shared and consistent amongst people that have never met, and it's likely to be consistent amongst alien and human species that have never met. And then what does it mean to think about it as like, you get what I'm saying? I don't know.
Wait, what are, no, I'm confused.
I'm saying that if physics was truly just like of the human consciousness, then we could meet aliens that would have, like, that would have a completely different way of describing the universe. And how would we even meet? Would we meet on like spaceships that are affected by the rules of gravity, or would they come? I don't know. It's just
if Sahil's scenario were to be true, then aliens would just have like physics defined technology, just completely beyond our explanation, just like coming down on Earth and just totally supernatural behaviors, right? Like, just like, oh my god, like, this violates all kinds of laws of physics. Like, in some way, experimentally, we'll find out, right? It would be like, oh, yeah, that's all BS in some ways. But like, we haven't experienced that yet, not even approximately, right? I think another thing is just that physics seems awfully efficient. It's just so efficient at describing things, right? Like, you know, like Newton's law, apples falling to the ground, and the Earth orbiting the sun, is the same equation. It would seem kind of crazy that if there's some imaginary world, somehow it's like this system, which could technically be anything, right, is so efficient at reusing these mathematical facts in a consistent way.
Yeah, but that's aesthetics, right?
Yeah,
I'm starting to wonder now, is it possible that we could someday meet an alien race that says, no, massive bodies don't attract each other. You're crazy. There's a whole different way of thinking about this.
I don't believe it, but I wouldn't discount it. I mean, I would discount it 99.9999, however many percent that won't happen. But
it's still not totally impossible, right?
All I know for sure is that if that ever happens, my brain and the brain of every other physicist on this planet will simultaneously explode. That's all I...
Yeah.
Crazy.
I guess, like, so one thing I'm kind of wondering is, like, it's not that, like, we, like, make up the laws of physics or, like, physics is all consciousness or whatever, but the lens in which we're filtering these experiments are through our consciousness. So it's, like, we're kind of restricted by that. Like, I mean, before, people originally thought, I mean, still today, even, that we live in, like, 3+1 dimensions, and it feels like the world is there's a lot of evidence, theoretically at least, that, like, you know, we're on the surface of like an area, for instance, and non-locality and whatnot. But without going too much into that, like, what I'm trying to say is that, like, we horse train the world based on, like, our senses and maybe the language which we've developed from those senses or to describe the world. So I'm wondering, like, does that impact this question of, like, is physics, like, invented or discovered?
I don't think so, because, like, you use the word filtered, right? It's most likely true that what we experience is being filtered by the limitations of our own intelligence, if not many more things. But that means that we're still getting some piece of what's actually out there. That implies that there's actually still something out there, and we're just getting some small piece of it.
Let me follow up. I think the evidence suggests that this is not the case, right? Because let's say, imagine in a not too crazy world, let's say physics is limited by our perception. That means if we somehow expand our perception, we'll find discrepancies, right? But that never happens. Every time we use apparatuses that kind of expand the limits of experimentation, we always find even greater agreements with our theoretical understanding. Like, some good examples are, like, you know, the gravitational wave detectors. Some of the most precise measurement, physical measurement that ever existed. It's incredible. And it only reaffirm Einstein's laws of gravity, right? And, you know, and also some of these fantastical measurement about properties of electrons in particle physics. Every time there's an experimental breakthrough that expands our limits of measurement, we just reaffirm that conviction further. So I think this way of this definition of invention, this way of viewing what invention is, seems unlikely, right? Like, physics is definitely, almost definitely not made up in this, like, fantastical way.
But it could be.
but it's not productive. I think if you say that it could, yeah, it's just not productive.
Like, yeah, like, what is that? What is that? What is that theory of gnomes? You know, it's possible that everything we're seeing is just tiny gnomes. Like, when they see something fall, just like tiny gnomes that can move faster than you can see, or just moving. Like, that's possible. But if you want to believe in that, go ahead, I guess.
Yes. But I think the most enticing alternative about invention is that maybe it's some really elaborate kind of AI-like system that we're just fitting our language to this world. And it could be really convincing. Like, is physics that? I still don't believe that's true, but I think that's kind of the remaining plausibility.
But if it's fitting to something, is that thing that it's fitting to, is that true?
Right. I mean, that's, yeah, I don't know.
Then it's just asymptotically reaching the truth, and then...
Exactly, yeah.
And then it's still kind of a discovery then. We're just using AI to reach it at this discovery asymptotically.
Yeah. So we're almost reaching time. I want to say, do you guys want to say anything as our parting words before we leave the audience?
I don't know. For the last, like, 15 years of my life, I've been going back and forth on this, on the topic of, like, whether or not physics is invented or discovered, and on the topic of whether mathematics is invented or discovered. But I think I'll settle on that they're both definitely discovered, and that invention has no part in this. Because I'm just taking stock of, like, how little control I've had in my pursuit of anything in these two fields. And it just feels, yeah, it's just, they're both just... We have zero control over any two of these things. How can we say that we have any kind of, like, invented in any kind of sense? That's crazy.
I think a lot of times we come to similar conclusions, like you and I. because our academic journeys are similar. Yeah. I think personally for me, sure, discovery versus invention, who cares, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, as a student, when I was studying physics, like, this is important personally. And this is one of the reasons why I decided to go into physics. And at some point, I was choosing between kind of like math and physics, like, which one do I go into? And math, yeah, many aspects of math is very much, it feels like a discovery. There's a lot of surprises in there. But some of the mathematical language just seems kind of like made up in some sense, right? You build these
axioms. Yeah.
That those just, you know, it does feel like invented in some ways. But of course, many aspects of math is discovered. But physics just gives me this kind of humbling aspect. Like almost the entirety of it just feels like discovery. Like you have no choice. Like, oh, you study quantum physics, you think it's not understandable, contrived, whatever. Well, too bad. Like that's nature. I don't care if you like it or not. That's just how it's being described. Like you have no choice. And kind of this feeling, kind of, it's humbling and inspiring. Right? It's telling you that there's sometimes these greater, I don't know what the right word is, some greater existence, some like more structured, you know, concept out there that governs us, right? And it's very deeply personal. Like physics governs us, Earth, planet, and the galaxies. And in very much, and in that way, it feels like a discovery. It's just, so studying physics is like, you know, living through life, like just seeing stuff, finding out, right? So in a real sense, it's like, I feel like a tourist, just kind of walking around, seeing these physical theory and just fascinated by the discovery. So for me, yeah.
I would agree with that, yeah. I would say that physics and math are both discovered, but physics is more discovered. There is that extra thing that nature arbiter that Tim was talking about. That's definitely, I think that's why physics is better than math. It is. It's like clearly better.
Welcome to the channel.
What? I mean, some of it. I mean,
yeah. I don't disagree.
I mean, no. I'm just saying, like, who knows what we're gonna think in like, you know, 10,000 years. But for now, large parts of mathematics just looks like puzzles. Just looks like chess games, tic tac toe. Like, yeah. But that's obviously just me as like an ignorant physicist who is 10,000 years too ignorant to.
Okay, but that one day when we do discover that those math are relevant for real life,
then they'll be the same thing. They'll be the same.
They become ever more beautiful.
Fair enough. All right, everyone. I want to thank you for joining us, and we'll see you all next week.
See you all. Bye bye.